This evening to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to be covering, we're not going to be able to cover the whole thing tonight, but we're going to be covering verses 8 through 24. In this section of Scripture. Tonight we're going to look at the fear of Pilate. We'll read verse 8 through 11. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now the entirety of this passage records Pilate's last appeal to these bloodthirsty Jews before giving his assent to their desire to crucify the Son of God. Time and again, we find Pilate attempting to prevent the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus by way of crucifixion. He did not want to do it. His wife had influenced him. He also felt that Jesus was not worthy of death. But he finally submits to the Jews' repeated request for the death of the despised and rejected one. When Pilate finally released the Lord Jesus to the violent crowd, he proclaimed him later on in the passage as the King of the Jews. He said, behold your King. Unknowingly, Pilate and the Jews were fulfilling what God had decreed before the world began, that the Son of God, acting the part of the sacrificial lamb, would offer his life in the stead of God's elect to appease the wrath of Jehovah. It is an illustration that no matter how men may try to divert or turn back or thwart the will of God, they cannot do it. Jesus, the will of Pilate was to set Jesus free, but it was the will of God that he die in our stead. Now in verses 8 through 11, we have the fear of Pilate. After the Jews had charged the Lord Jesus with blasphemy because he made himself the Son of God, verse 8 records that Pilate became the more afraid. Now some suggest that Pilate's fear was a fear of the Jews, or his political future in relation to how he handled this situation. And there's no doubt that both of those things played a part and were in operation. But I think there's a deeper fear that struck the heart and the conscience of Pilate. He was a Roman. He was well acquainted with tales of mythology which taught that gods sometimes took the form of men. Now, you and I know that that's nonsense. That's mythology. There are no mythical creatures. But the thought that Christ proclaimed himself as the Son of God alarmed the Roman governor. And it was the person of Christ who carried himself with such composure and dignity in spite of ill treatment that occasioned the real fear of Pilate. You have to understand, Pilate had seen many malefactors, many criminals, many people charged with crimes, and he had condemned many to death. But he had never seen anyone like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pilate, feeling uneasy and uncomfortable, went back inside the judgment hall to speak to Jesus once again. It's interesting to note that Pilate did not ask Jesus who he really was, but rather where he was from. Could it have been that Pilate was beginning to believe that Jesus was indeed truly who he said he was? The conscience of Pilate began to plague him with fear and uneasiness. Suppose this man, in his thoughts, is indeed come from heaven. It's obvious to Pilate that there was something unique about the one who stood before him. Pilate's fear prompted him to demand that Christ reveal his true origin. Now, he had asked Jesus several questions and had received answers. However, on this occasion, an ominous silence filled the judgment hall. The Lord Jesus Christ kept silence. He did not answer the inquiry of the Roman governor. Pilate didn't deserve an answer from the Lord. Jesus had already informed the heathen ruler of the nature of his kingdom and the purpose of his coming into the world. He had stated the truth honestly and forthrightly. And Pilate, in return, had been convinced of Christ's innocence. However, he still ordered him to be scourged and beaten unmercifully. Now think about that. He did that to appease the Jews. He thought surely after Christ had been beaten beyond recognition and his body was a bloody mess and he was emaciated from the punishment, certainly the Jews will say, enough, we're satisfied. But he underestimated their hatred. See, the Lord Jesus, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Pilate had allowed the Lord to be beaten. And last week, we went into some detail of what scourging entailed. And you know what? Pilate had treated the Lord with gross injustice and with inhumane cruelty. He had turned a deaf ear to his troubled conscience. So our Lord refused to answer the question of Pilate. And I thought about this. Woe unto the man to whom God will not speak. The silence of God signals that His righteous judgment is not far off. You see it in Revelation chapter 8 when there was silence in heaven, and then after that silence in heaven, there's going to be a lot of wrath poured out upon the earth during the tribulation period. Men reject the counsel of God. They refuse to answer the general call. Therefore, God is in no way obligated to answer them in the day of their anxiety and their fear. He is a just God. He is a holy God. He is not obligated to answer you or anyone else. He's not obligated to save anyone. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful, searching passages of Scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. God says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof." God says this, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." God will judge justly. And He will laugh at man's calamity. You say, "Well, that's not right of God." You're in no position at all to say what's right for God. You're depraved. You're sinful. You don't see things from a holy perspective. Your attitude, your thought life is jaded and defiled by sin. Those who want to charge God with something, they're not in any position to do that. Because of our iniquity and our fallen sinful nature, God is holy. He's right. He's just. And men deserve the very worst punishment. Now they won't acknowledge that. But God will judge. Now, Jesus was silent on this occasion for several reasons. First of all, and I think this is pretty simple, His divine origin could never be comprehended by the carnal Pilate. Pilate was, he was a reprobate. He didn't have a new nature. He had no understanding of the divine counsel, and Jesus was not going to spend time here in this instance trying to explain the theology of the incarnation and how this was all divinely fulfilled. And he didn't know Pilate that either. Secondly, I think his silence was designed to fill the heart of Pilate with conviction and fear. I believe lost people do get convicted. I think Judas Iscariot, who was never saved, was convicted of treason, of him betraying the Lord. But God didn't hear him. And he died in his sins. Thirdly, Jesus knew that what God had decreed concerning his death, therefore he would not say anything that men could use to hinder that or prevent it. And then fourthly, the silence of Jesus was a fulfillment of Isaiah 53:7, which said, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." This was the silence of Christ being exercised in fulfillment of that prophecy. Verse 10, Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Now this verse reveals the proud, the haughty, the arrogant personality of Pilate. The silence of Jesus Christ must have infuriated this Roman ruler. He must have wondered how such a lowly Jew, who had been beaten beyond recognition, publicly humiliated, could summon the courage not to respond to his command. See, Pilate had seen plenty of other prisoners cringing before him in fear, willing to do anything to appease his wrath, willing to do anything to obtain his favor. But Jesus was the exception. Pilate then claimed that he had the power and the authority to either crucify or release the Lord Jesus. Pilate was filled with conceit and abominable pride. You know, this kind of attitude is often found in men of position and power. They think that they're the final authority. I think back to Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was the final authority. And God made him eat grass like an ox. And then showed him and revealed his grace to him. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the one in charge until God got done with him. And then the Lord put it in his heart to say, Nebuchadnezzar, after it was all over, said, the Most High ruler in the kingdom of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, doest thou. Men don't have power over God. You see, men, as a general rule, think way too highly of themselves, especially those that are in power, that have authority and can wield it. It's why there's always been a move toward tyranny in human government. Men want to dominate other men. I like what A.W. Pink said. Here was a worm of the earth, so puffed up with a sense of his own importance, so obsessed with the idea of his own absolute free will, that he has the effrontery to say that the Son of the Highest was entirely at his disposal. Mark to his utter inconsistency. He was boasting of his legal authority. Mark to his utter inconsistency. He was boasting of his legal authority, but if the Lord were innocent, he had no judicial power to crucify him. If he were guilty, he had no judicial power to release him. Out of his own mouth, he stands condemned. Carefully analyzed, his words can only mean, I am above the law, innocent or guilty. I can do with you as I please. A lot of politicians think that. And they put it in practice. And unfortunately, a lot of times, people like you and me, we have no recourse. I mean, I think some of the things that have gone on in our nation, how politicians have gotten away with things, just unbelievable security issues that a woman who had run for president got away with scot-free. Because I believe she has power, she has money, and she was able to use her influence to get off scot-free. Now, if you would have been in that position, you'd be in the deepest, darkest jail that they could find. Now, John 19:11, Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. In this verse, Jesus responded to Pilate's assertion of absolute power and authority with a stinging rebuke. Our Lord spoke on behalf of his Father's honor and absolute sovereignty. Jesus would not tolerate a mere finite man making claims of authority that belonged only to God. And Jesus made it clear that Pilate had no power to do anything unless God had ordained and granted his position, his permission from above. You see, the only power that Pilate or any man in authority could exercise was that which was derived from God alone, who is the majestic sovereign of the universe. Jesus made it clear to Pilate that he was only an instrument in the hands of the Almighty. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. God is in control. Jesus was setting forth a truth that Pilate was later inspired, or that Paul was later to write about. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I believe that. And I believe that there are times that God ordains powers as judgment upon wicked people. Jesus then informed Pilate that the greater sin belonged to those who had delivered him into the hands of Pilate. Yes, Pilate was guilty of injustice, but it was Judas Iscariot that betrayed the Lord. It was the bloodthirsty Jews, especially Caiaphas the high priest, who were even more guilty than Pilate. They should have known better. They were supposed to be learned in the Scriptures. Pilate was a heathen. He was a pagan. He paid lip service to mythology and idolatry. The Jews should have known a whole lot better. So their guilt was much greater. Now Jesus sets forth some important truths in verse 11. First, he makes it clear that God's sovereign decrees do not in any way excuse or justify the wicked acts of men. Even though God had ordained the death of Jesus and every event that led up to it, the men who followed the murderous desires of their own hearts would be held responsible for their actions. All God did was turn on the spigot of man's depravity. They did what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill the Lord. God's counsels do not abolish the guilt of the men who execute them. Secondly, the Lord teaches us that there are degrees of sin and guilt and punishment. Pilate would be punished for his unbelief, his cowardice, his injustice. However, Judas and Caiaphas and the Jews would be punished more severely, because they had a greater degree of guilt. I think of people that have heard the gospel over and over and over again and rejected it and won't receive it. I believe that their punishment will be much greater than, say, somebody in Sudan that has maybe only heard the gospel a time or two. I believe that the judgment of those who have greater light will be more severe. Now it's interesting that the very last word that Pilate heard from the mouth of Jesus was the word sin. He said, therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. I don't doubt that this conversation with Jesus would haunt Pilate for the rest of his natural life. The next time he hears Jesus speak, it will be when he stands before Jesus at the great white throne of judgment to receive the sentence of his eternal doom and be cast into the lake of fire. What a solemn thought that is. I told you last week, this past week, when I was burning those tree limbs, how hot, blazing hot the fire was. And it began to humble me. Because I thought, I can't even put my hand over this fire for a minute or 2 minutes. And yet I deserve an eternity in flames that are much hotter than this because of my wicked sins. Oh, I pray you know the Lord tonight. He's the only way of deliverance from judgment and from the wickedness of sin. Let's all stand.
Page number 1.